The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after 3 o'clock here on The Fan, toll-free number is 888-808-1019. While the Jets are alive and everything is right in front of them, I laugh every time I use that line because Aaron Boone used that line constantly. And the funny part was he was right. It was right in front of them.
Right.
And they got to the World Series. I also have eyes wide open that if this doesn't work, and by this I mean the Jets fail to make the postseason, I am certainly as a fan going to be in the position of, all right, we got to blow this thing up and we got to start over. And so one of the dilemmas Giant fans are facing is that when they play again in a week, because they have a bye on Sunday, most Giant fans are going to think about the draft pick. They're going to think about, I want to draft as high as possible because I clearly need to draft a quarterback. So the Jets are in this weird spot because they clearly need to draft a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan Travis was drafted last year.
That's right.
And he's a project, and I'm all for him getting some kind of opportunity next year as he continues to be healthy and learn, but I still think you're drafting a quarterback. I still think that your goal is going to be, hey, we're drafting relatively high. Let's go get our future quarterback.
Right.
I don't think they're going to go the veteran quarterback route. Now, unlike the Giants, I think the Jets will win some games, even if it's not as many games as we're all dreaming of. So what do the Jets do? Well, I have an idea. And it stemmed from something we said 2 days ago.
Oh,
and that idea went into my head, and I said, oh, I got it. As of right now, do you know which team owns the number one pick in the NFL draft?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, not the New York Giants.
Followed closely by the New York Giants.
Followed very closely by the New York Giants. If the Jacksonville Jaguars get the number one overall pick, the New York Jets have the ability to move up ahead of the Giants, own the draft, and take the quarterback of their choosing. And the route that they have to get it done, if you guys have the stomach to do it, is Sauce Gardner. Because the New York Jets could take their first round pick, whether it's 10, 11, 12, 9, 8, wherever it is, and they would be able to offer a win-now team, assuming the Jaguars are still thinking that way, with a very high-priced quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, they would be then getting a really big piece to add to their secondary in the prime of their career, a little bit before they're getting paid, along with a first-round pick. That's not something any other team can offer. So when we talked the other day about would you trade Sauce Gardner, I said to you, I love Sauce Gardner. He's having a down year. I'm not looking to just trade him, but could there be a trade that opens up your eyes?
You would sacrifice your defensive identity, to an extent, for a quarterback.
For a franchise quarterback.
You think a franchise quarterback.
To own,
you know, a damn good defensive back.
Absolutely. Despite the year Sauce is having. But if you're that desperate for a quarterback, which I think we all are around here, we're trying to kind of thirst off Aaron Rodgers, but he's 41 years old and the answer so far has been a big fat negative, then whatever you give up is going to be worth it if you hit it. And so the Jets would be in position to jump over the New York Football Giants and every other team because they'd be able to offer something that really no one else can. And that's a very good young player in the prime of their career. Now, a lot of things have to happen to get to this point. The Jets have to not make the postseason.
Yeah,
the Jaguars have to get the number one pick. But tell me where that doesn't That kind of make a lot of sense.
Well, it does make sense, but it makes no sense at the same time.
For
the Jets, because I don't know what's going on with the New York Jets defensively and why they've regressed in the 4 weeks that since they fired Robert Saleh. You know, going into that week five game, they were one of the top defenses in football, averaging giving up 17 points a game and 255 yards total. They had six turnovers. Since Robert Saleh got fired, they're giving up 26 points a game, so almost 9 points more. Almost 100 yards more total offense they're giving up, and they only had one takeaway. So I don't know what changed other than, you know, a cliche or a theoretical, I don't know, loss of whatever.
Well, Robert Saleh must have been a great game planner.
Well,
we didn't give him enough credit for how well he did coaching up the defense. Maybe that's the answer.
Or it's just the intangible of when you fire your head coach, it shocks everybody.
I understand.
And so my point is, even though they've regressed over these last 5 weeks or 4 weeks, it's still going to be their calling card.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
And so the last thing you want to do is get rid of one of the best young corners in the NFL.
I want to make something very clear because I don't think people understand this, and I want you to understand this.
Okay.
I don't want to trade Sauce Gardner, but sometimes trades are painful. And I don't think we like to do that on Sports Talk Radio. We like to create trades that aren't painful. We like to create trades that are like fun. Like, oh, yeah. Like Met fans are thinking about Gary Crochet.
Yeah.
They want to give up guys like Brett Beatty that don't hurt them. Dare I bring up a name that hurts them, and it's like, well, I don't want to do that. Well, dude, I'm sorry. Trades are uncomfortable. They're not fun. Okay? I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to give you a realistic solution. I like Sauce Gardner. Me bringing up his name is not me dragging his name through the mud, or I'm done with him, or he sucks, or he's dead to me. He's not dead to me. I also know that if the Jets are picking 10, 11, 12, mm-hmm. they've got no chance in hell to trade up to the number one pick unless they offered something different. And that's different. And if the Jets are going through a full rebuild with a young head coach and a young quarterback, why wouldn't you take one of the guys that you're about to pay that's going to demand big-time money, rightfully so,
right.
and say, let me cash out on that to improve the most important position on a football field? So before we continue, I just want you to know, deep in my heart, I actually really love Sauce Gardner.
So this is a business. This is fully a business
decision.
It's
all business, bro.
So it's a business, not even an on-field decision.
It's a business decision.
And the challenge then becomes, how do you replace him? Or how do you build your defense differently? And you don't know whether or not it's going to be a success. The thing with Sauce is, you know he's going to be successful.
But don't you agree that while it is a step back, 1,000%, who replaces Sauce Gardner? DJ Reed's probably gone next year, too. I get that. Don't you agree that if you get your answer at quarterback, that is worth it? Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but when are you going to know that? 3 years? 2 years?
Look, rebuilds are tough, man.
Of course they
but
are.
But that's probably where they're heading.
I think we get jaded because we see the Jaden Daniels and the CJ Strouds of the world, but there were a lot of quarterbacks taken the last few years.
Sure.
And not all of them's names are we saying like that.
You're right.
And so it's just a crapshoot. You just don't know who's who.
You would not be willing to do that if you were me.
I don't think you get rid of a marquee piece of your defense to potentially find your quarterback.
Well, I'm not trading up to get to three or four. I'd be doing it to own the draft and decide for myself, whoever the GM is, by the way, I assume not Joe Douglas, I get to decide who my quarterback is. I don't get to pick second or third. I decide it.
Yeah, but I also just feel like as much as we want to opine about this year's draft class, I don't know if it's great. I really don't. I mean, the one thing we were talking about before the show is the good thing about the college football playoff is that a lot of these quarterbacks are going to be playing, right?
And so we're going to scout them.
Right. You get to see them in right. big games.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just playing, I don't know, little sisters of the whoever, but it's like play big, meaningful college football, national stage games, and how do you perform?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to get to see.
It's
probably the only good thing about the college football playoff. It's going to be long as hell. But yeah. I think you will see the Carson Becks and the Cam Wards. You'll see these guys playing some meaningful football. And that's a good thing.
You've got a hit, But I think that is something the Jets could potentially offer if they're in the position. Because isn't that where they're going to end up? Like, they're not picking top 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Can I do just a little comparison? I think it's worthy to bring up because the Jaguars have been in sort of this position before.
Sure.
They were trading the guy.
Sure.
Jalen Ramsey.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Fetched. Two first rounders and a fourth rounder. So I'm not sure, like...
Was that with Miami?
When he traded him to the...
Oh, no, he went...
To the Rams.
The Rams.
West, that's right.
They got a 2020, 2021 first rounder and a 2021 fourth rounder. I bring that up to say, could you get more for Sauce Gardner than just the first overall pick?
Well, the first overall pick, though, is something far different.
Right.
Like, when you're trading picks in general, it's a theory.
There is
it's
a calculator that they have.
Right.
But it's a calculator based on we don't know where that team is picking. When
stone number one
overall pick, the value on that is very, very different. And look, what I'm suggesting is if this season continues to go where we're going.
Right, you lose four more games. And then, all of a sudden it's like,
okay,
all right, you're not bad enough to be number one.
They're picking 10th.
But you're in the top 10.
So they're 10th. And the New York Giants are number two. Let's just go based on where we are right now. And the Jaguars are number one. And you want to trade up. Like, you've talked about it, Sean, as a Giant fan.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll trade up. Would you not agree that that particular player, based on his age, what he's accomplished already, would not fetch you enough to move from 11 to 1 10 to 1?
It is certainly a sweetener that I doubt any other team would be available to do. Like, the Giants would not do that with Dexter Lawrence, let's say. So I think it's interesting. I think it's innovative. I think it's different. And I think it's definitely sexy. I think you bring something to the table to be able to do that.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
I do.
Thank you.
I think it would ever happen? No.
Now I just know how you replace Sauce.
It's not easy. It sucks, man. Like, of course, I like Sauce Gardner despite everything that's happening this year.
Mm-hmm.
Despite my questions to you of what's going wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you can chalk it up to so many other intangibles that's going on with this Jets team at large. Forget, him individually. I think things are just not copacetic.
But you have to ask yourself this question, and I hate this because I don't like this as a sports fan. When I have good young players that I successfully drafted, I want to keep them.
Yes.
I'm not in favor of trading them. But if the New York Jets fail this year and they blow the whole thing up and the new general manager and head coach says, we are rebuilding, this is the right thing to do at this point in our history is to rebuild, is it going to make sense in the middle of a rebuild to pay Sauce and Garrett the kind of money it's going to take to keep both of those guys?
Well, I mean,
when you're rebuilding.
Well, Garrett, I would say yes, especially if you're going to draft a quarterback.
Agreed with you. That's
right?
Why Sauce is the guy. That's why. Because you're making me decide between the two of them.
About,
you're right. I have a young quarterback.
What about Quinnen Williams?
I don't think he's fetching back that same return.
No, you're probably right.
That's my answer to that.
Yeah.
So it's an idea because the Jets are not picking in the top five. Let's just have an honest discussion. As negative as you want to be as a Jet fan, right now they're picking eighth. And even if
And that's with three wins.
And that's with three wins. The odds are they're picking in the low teens. Or maybe 10, 11, 12, 13. Somewhere in a range in which they're not picking number one. So how do you jump everybody and get to number one? How do you do that? The only way to do it is to offer something really, really valuable. And that thing would be him.
And he's the most valuable piece.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I just don't know if it would. It's just really hard to replace greatness, right? You can think you're going to find it again. You can think you're going to find the next great cornerback and get lucky. But the reality is it's hard to do.
I understand.
So
you got to take risks, though, in life, baby.
But if you have it, it's just, to me, it just doesn't make sense to give it away. Now, if you're guaranteeing, like if this was a draft where the top quarterback was obvious, let's say it's like Trevor Lawrence, right? You can't miss, in consensus, everybody knew that he was going to be the guy. Hasn't obviously turned out that way for Trevor. Not all his fault, but it is what it is. But coming into the NFL, was there a doubt that he wasn't the number one pick overall?
No doubt. That'll be next year with Arch Manning, by the way.
Exactly right. But it's not next this coming year.
Right.
And so if there was that guy, the Arch Manning or the Trevor Lawrence or Peyton Manning or whoever at the top, even though for some reason he wasn't the consensus, a lot of people had Ryan Leaf, but whatever. If there was that guy, I'd say 100%. You know, Sauce is expendable. This guy is your franchise quarterback. Your idea is interesting, but specific to this draft, I don't love it.
Mm. The only caveat, this is very in the weeds, if you're the Jaguars and you're the team picking number one overall.
But before you even say anything, you have an ulterior motive.
What's that?
You don't want this to happen because you want the number one overall pick.
Okay.
You'd be very jealous.
But, Evan,
you talk about is your quarterback. My quarterback, I got to lose. I got to get the number one pick.
Evan, you're right.
If the Jets jumped you to get the number one overall pick, that would, like, ruin your life.
It definitely would be.
Okay, good. Now make your point.
Knowing the Jets, it might make me comfortable that we get the second guy and they screw that up. But that's neither here nor there. Here's just in the weeds. And you would love this, too. This NFL draft's non-quarterback first overall pick is like Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. He plays both sides.
Travis Hunter, I'm aware.
Yeah. But he's not going to play both positions in the NFL.
He's
going to be a corner. He's not going to play wide receiver.
Also in the NFL, I'm not trying that. Would you try that, Teague? I wouldn't try that.
Not like he does it in college.
Okay. No.
But the point
is, he's a full-time player.
Yes.
On both sides of the ball.
Okay.
You can't do that.
I don't think you could do that in the NFL.
Anyway, I set this all up to say
he is a great player, though.
His best great position is corner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars and your sweetener is getting a corner you're about to pay, wouldn't you prefer just sitting there?
Oh, you're scared. Oh,
and taking
that's what
the
it
corner
is.
That might be better than Sauce Gardner?
He's trying to talk out of it because like, damn, it's a good idea. Let me show you why the Jaguars wouldn't
do it. I'm just presenting the audience facts where this might be the worst year to use the Sauce Gardner thing, because why not just take the corner that could be better?
888-808-1019. Let's go to Rick on Long Island. What's up, Rick?
Fellas, I'll give you this much. Every November 13th, I look at what the Jets are doing, and at that point in time, I decide, okay, my season's over, because that's the day that Felix Unger's wife asked him to leave his place of residence. Okay, that's if you watch The Odd Couple. Okay,
that's a pull.
now, with that pertaining towards Soft. He is soft, okay? I think he got exposed. I think last year they were afraid to throw at him. I think they were afraid to run at him. Now he can't tackle, and he's getting more pass interference like I don't know what. Okay, I think defenses used to scheme, okay, like for instance with Revis, oh, we can't go his direction, okay? No, he's not Revis. He can't cover like that. He's really got exposed in college. It was a whole different story even last year. I think he got exposed, and I think he's expendable. I love you guys. Thank
Appreciate
you. Bye-bye.
It. I don't know if expendable, because expendable means you can replace him. I just don't know if that's true.
Look, here's where I wouldn't use the word expendable. If this season continues where it's going, and it's a colossal failure, and this team has to reevaluate everything, one of the things they have to evaluate is if they want to pay Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. And I hate to say this, but we live in a salary cap world. And when you live in a salary cap world and your team isn't any good and you're not close to winning, does it make sense? Ask yourself this. Does it make sense to be paying the kind of money that they are already paying Quinnen Williams and that they're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner? Does that make sense when you're not close to winning? And the answer is probably going to lean towards not really. And so what you're going to have to do is make really, really tough decisions. And that's, should I take one of those guys and cash out with draft capital? Now, I hate doing that because draft capital is a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And you're just praying that you draft a guy half as good as the guy that you just traded away. But you're also paying that guy a lot less than the guy that you have to pay. So I disagree with Sauce can't tackle. Sauce can't tackle this year. And maybe Tiki's right. It's the shoulder injury. But I saw him tackle last year.
Right.
And I saw him tackle the year before.
He was great.
So I can't just assume he forgot how to tackle.
And again, you also can't discount everything that's gone on with this Jets team, including firing the defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
And putting Jeff Olbrich in a tough spot where he's got to be the cheerleader, the head coach, and everything else.
Yes.
As well as the D.C. It just makes things very difficult.
Al is calling from Queens. What's up, Al? What's up, Al?
What's going on, guys?
Yo,
what's going on, guys?
All's good.
Evan, you're like a broadcaster when the game is like 40-0, and you're like, oh, anything can happen here in the third quarter. Like, trying to keep the audience keep watching. I just think it's really irresponsible as a Jet fan to do this to your fellow Jet fan. The season's over. Now, you can watch on Sunday and hope. Hoping and realizing the season's over.
Al, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
And this may not go well because I don't know if what your answer is going to be, but do you happen to be a New York Mets fan at all?
No. Diehard Yankee fan. Okay. Grew up on Girard Avenue.
I respect it. Do you think that in June or right after Memorial Day, did you think kind of the same thing you're saying now about the Jets? Their season's over.
No, I thought you guys were done. When it was 11 games I thought you guys were done.
And you know Al, that's my point. So when
That's one example. That is one example. You're ignoring 47 other examples on how you're wrong.
But the one example is enough to say this is why you don't just give up on a season.
Well, the challenge is true to you. And so, but it's not true to everybody else's example who were that far out of it and just stayed that far out of it.
So while I was never, and there's a difference, I think, between positivity with Tommy and reminding you there's a chance, okay? I would sit there on the Rico Bronya every time the Mets would lose a game. We would do Ricos, right? Mm-hmm. We never took off. And I would do Ricos, and while I'd be negative about what just happened and what I think is going to happen in the future, that's why I wouldn't say I was positive like Tommy, who said, hey, we're going to be fine, we got this, we got that, we're going to be good. What I would remind everybody was, hey, I've seen this before in baseball. I've seen it where a team is dead. I've seen it where a team comes out of nowhere. I remember the 2019 Washington Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that this is your year to be that team. Your hope is, why can't this be the year where we're the story of a team that comes out of nowhere? So I get it. It's a long shot. I'm not telling you it's going to happen, just like I didn't tell you it was going to happen during the baseball season. But as long as it's there, as long as it's in front of you, as long as if there's a route that you can think about and say, oh, gee, I can see that, then why would you give up? There's a difference between giving up and rooting to lose so you can go draft a quarterback versus they still have a shot.
But I don't think the Jet fan is giving up. I think the Jet fan just watches with less intensity or expectation. That's all it is.
I'll tell you the difference. Yes and no. So don't want to bore you with this, but a few people have asked me how, because they know I'm a diehard basketball fan. How do you watch a basketball season where your team is tanking? Mm-hmm. And my answer is, I watch the Nets. I really want them to win. But when they lose, I go to sleep peacefully.
The Nets still in the league.
I don't get angry. I used to get angry. Tommy will tell you. Every loss would, like, kill me. I'd be pissed off.
Inconsolable.
Even when you were done.
No, I'm talking about, like, just last year early in the season.
Right.
You know, when you still think you have a shot. Championship contender or not. I'd be inconsolable. I'd be in a bad mood. I'd have to get over it. Now, when the Nets lose a game like they did to Boston or Cleveland over the weekend, I'm disappointed because I want to win. And I'm able to move on very quickly. I'm not there with the Jets yet. When they got their ass kicked by the Arizona Cardinals, I was angry. I didn't just say, ah, gee golly, I've accepted, I'm going to bed. And I don't think that's going to be the case Sunday against Indianapolis. And I don't think Jet fans are there either. I disagree with that last call. I think he's lying without lying purposely. He doesn't understand his feelings because it's Wednesday. He doesn't know what he's going to say on Sunday. And what he's going to say on Sunday is, we better win, we have a shot. And if they lose, you're going to be angry. Now, will there come a point in this season which that anger turns to apathy? Absolutely.
Right.
We're not there yet.
You'll be angry this week because it's a game that you can win.
And they still have a shot.
I think you're dead wrong, Evan.
I'm dead wrong about what?
I think the Jet fan base is completely soured and given up. I think the idea that you think any Jet fan on a Wednesday outside, or not any, the majority of Jet fans think today, based on math, that there's something to look forward to?
Let me ask you this, Sean. How many Jet fans do you think believe what Aaron Rodgers is saying?
None.
Because Aaron Rodgers is saying exactly what Evan is saying.
I think that you have finally seen the movement from Jet fans who have defended him to the bitter end. Basically, the thought being, shut up.
Jet fan has quit on Aaron Rodgers.
I think a bulk of them have, yeah.
Interesting. I'd be interested to know what the Jet fans thought on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers is annoying and a suck this year, but I'm still holding out hope that on Sunday he can go on the run we're all dreaming about.
Yeah.
Two things can be true at the same time. I'm mad at Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sitting here defending Aaron Rodgers. I've said nothing today that's defending Aaron Rodgers. I'm merely saying hey, the road is still there.
But I'm bringing
win
it
the
up.
Games.
I'm bringing it up because this is what he's. What you're saying is exactly what he's saying.
Well, because it's true.
Of course, it's true.
Hey, just because we're both saying the same thing doesn't mean we got it from each other.
I know.
But everything's still right in front of us.
But so is the fan not listening to you? Are they listening to Aaron Rodgers or not listening to Aaron Rodgers? Or like, what's the difference?
I'll tell you the difference.
Because it's the same 25 to 40 message. Better be it's just coming from a different perspective. One from the fan perspective, one from the guy who's playing.
Here's what I think is happening. I think today is Wednesday, November 13th. And I think it is easy because it's still fresh what happened on Sunday. Mm-hmm. With dead, we suck. Who's our coach next year? I think by the time you get to Sunday at 1 o'clock and you know you're in front of the TV or you're at MetLife Stadium, if you weren't smart enough to sell your tickets 2 months ago.
Like, who is it?
A previous caller from an hour ago. You are going to hope that that's the game and that's the moment that turns everything around, and as you, naive as that feels.
And you can say, I was there.
And you could say I was there.
And by the way, it's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday.
Yes.
I don't even think this is an insult to our audience or to us as sports fans. We're fickle. You win one game, we're back on it. I have a friend that's a diehard Dolphin fan. He told me on Sunday the season's over. Now he's booking his flights to Miami, basically, for the playoffs. All it takes is one
right,
win.
Right, because they won
that's
on,
it.
What was that, Monday?
They won on Monday night.
Monday night, yeah.
Jets beat the Colts, and everyone will be back
by
on.
Way,
I
who
think
said that was going to happen? Who didn't? Oh, yeah.
Right. You did. You got it right. Yeah.
We were going to give you your flowers on Friday when we did the pick segment. But, yeah, Jet fans Thursday. Will be back in.
Yeah. Whatever. Speaking of fickle, you know who's really fickle?
Who?
Knick fans. Oh, my God. Tom Thibodeau's playing my guys too many minutes. Mikal Bridges is a bust. I can't stand him. And then last night, despite getting a very mediocre performance out of Jalen Brunson and getting the ankle scare, what did you people do? OG Anunoby.
Oh,
smacked
gee.
Him around.
Oh, gee.
Karl Anthony Towns is taking two Sixers out on one play, and then the foul's called on Kelly Oubre after a reversal, and they're just kicking ass. And now Knick fans are giddy again.
Yeah, you're a real piece of work, you know that? Because yesterday you pulled that stunt where you said, Knick fans, unlike you, I'm not worrying.
I wasn't.
And then when the Knicks win, you basically go, huh, you Knick fans are fickle.
You guys were.
You really, you know, spin that web, boy. You
well,
do.
Mm-hmm. The issue I have with you, Tommy.
So much for the worn down fourth quarters where they scored 33
of course.
Points.
Well, want to know why? Because he actually played some of his bench last night.
Oh, who?
Matt Ryan played like
9 minutes, dude.
9 minutes matter, bro. How many guys played over 40 minutes yesterday? Only one guy. He cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Tom Thibodeau, listen.
He was listening.
Yeah. And you know what the other thing was? And this is a big factor, and I don't want to...
Or maybe he just knew the 76ers stink.
Well, that's the other factor. The Sixers are just ridiculous.
2-8?
They suck.
They're bad.
The only
Joel Embiid doesn't even move.
McCain was impressive, and I think he is impressive, that young guard. But the rest of that Sixer team is just hot garbage.
Yep.
And I have to admit, watching this game, in which I don't like the Knicks, I admit that, but I'm watching Joel Embiid get tired after 3 minutes. I'm watching the Sixers make their cute little runs. You knew they had no shot.
Right.
And then the Knicks finally put them away. And then you watch the trash of that city leave with 5 minutes to go.
City of quitters. It's embarrassing.
Why are you surprised by that? They did it in the playoffs.
I'm not surprised.
Gutless.
I'm laughing at them. I'm not surprised. I know exactly who these people are. I have to tell you that as much as I don't like the Knicks.
No, you know what it is?
I enjoyed that a little bit
last
night.
You know what it is?
What?
The Eagles are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So they really could care less about the 76ers.
And they hate this team.
And they do. Yeah.
They hate Joel Embiid. They know he's a stiff.
They hate that the process is still in their face, even though it's not, even though it's long over and failed.
Yeah.
They hate it.
It's so funny.
It is funny.
I enjoyed last night. I really got a good crack out of last night.
Glad you did. What's your problem with me, though? You said you had an issue.
Oh, here's my problem with you. All right. We have this wonderful text chat, Evan and Tiki. You never write. Unless the Knicks win. And then you give us like a quick recap.
Oh,
we watch the game. We
you know
don't
what?
Need a recap.
I'm glad.
But
I'm,
when they lose, we never hear from you. It's like you disappear.
I'm glad you brought that
so
up.
So you're a little bit of a front runner,
no,
Tiki.
I'm,
thank
I'm,
you, Tiki. He agrees with me.
Well, my issue's not with Tiki. It's with you. Because I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm doing anything.
I was going to bring up our group chat. And this is not a Tiki thing. This is an Evan and Sean thing. Our group chat has now become net propaganda. These two dopes sitting there basically talking about their team, their tank, and this, that, and the other.
What
it's
are you talking
it's
about?
Not a safe place. It's not a safe place for Knicks fans. It's net propaganda. That's all it is.
I see a very accurate Todd McShay.
Oh, yeah, that was from Tiki. And a hammer. Oh,
guys,
nailed
no,
it.
No, no, no. What is Positive Tommy expounded on the air for a long time? I am your leader. Follow me.
Yeah.
In our chat, if you think there's Nets propaganda, be the leader that leads Nick propaganda in there. Don't cower and hide.
I'm trying to find a Nets propaganda.
There is
no Nets propaganda. I don't want to read. Can I read text messages on the air?
I don't care.
Yeah. You guys were rooting for Brunson to get injured for your stupid lottery pick.
No. I want to. So what I said was, and I'd say this on the air, is I said, quote, I hate myself right now.
Okay.
I want Jalen to be okay, but I don't.
Right.
That is a mixed emotion, and I'll walk you guys through this. So Jalen Brunson appeared to sprain his ankle in that game last night. Yes. And by the way, he's being listed as questionable for tonight's game against Chicago. Obviously, I think you guys know this. The Nets own every draft pick that the Knicks have until 2090.
Correct.
Okay? Yeah. So we own your future.
For a fourth player.
Right.
Hopefully that future is not good for you.
Right. The Knicks losing benefits me.
Yes.
That's just the reality of it.
But then winning benefits you in no way.
Well, it moves the pick backwards.
Yes.
I'd rather the pick be better. So we all know that. I think that's fine. When Jalen goes down with an ankle issue, mm-hmm. I like Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. I've said that before. Okay. I don't want him to be hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's why my text says, and I quote, I'm glad Jalen is okay, but... I want Jalen to be okay, but I don't.
Correct.
Which shows you the unfortunate position trading draft picks puts fans in. I want him to be okay because I'm a good guy, but I don't because it benefits my team. Okay. What's wrong with that?
Knicks will still win because Deuce will take over.
That's not even the point, but yes.
Also, it's not that big. It's not like Jalen Brunson died. He rolled his ankle. Like, it's okay to want him out a few games.
But then after...
But John, I said, I want him to be okay.
That's
so where
I said, what's done is done.
So am I saying anything bad? Did I say anything bad about him?
No, I didn't take it as anything.
Okay, but then Sean responded...
I thought you were being compassionate.
Thank you, Sean.
You're just being sensitive.
Evan's a jerk. And then Sean wrote, what's done is done after that. So after the game, I texted, chemistry was there tonight, Philly fans leaving with 5 minutes left, city of quitters. No response from anybody.
That's because it was too late.
No, it's net propaganda. It's a net chat. There's net propaganda in this stuff.
It has nothing to do with
it. Yes, it is. I put positive Knicks stuff in there. Nobody talks
about
it.
Hold on a second.
I was already on the Daniel Jones and everything else.
Yeah. Tiki moved on to Daniel Jones. By the way, you should play that Todd McShay clip on the air because Tiki sent this in our text chat and it was really interesting. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But I then wrote, I'm glad Jalen's okay. I feel like a better person. So I didn't do anything propaganda. Like, I was actually being a compassionate human that said, I want him to be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want the guy to be hurt. Why would I want him to be hurt?
When did they play the Cavs? Saturday night?
Yeah.
You said your team is unique. What's unique about them? They gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter. And then...
Because
I know where you two are cooking up. I know exactly where you're
cooking up.
Let me just spoil alert for the audience here.
Tiki, I'm sorry, sir. Tiki's already ruled that you're being sensitive. We can move on now. We win,
oh, because I got you. So we're moving on. That's fine. You know what?
No.
I'll take it. You can move on
Tommy,
here. But I know exactly what you're cooking up there, pal.
Tommy. Unless you want to file appeal with somebody else.
I do.
Tiki Barber, who I think is the arbiter of fairness, already said you're being a sensitive bitch.
It's a lowercase L, Lugie. It's okay. People think it's an I.
It's
okay.
Exactly.
Can I file an appeal to somebody? Off air is fine.
Yeah, you do it off air with someone who cares. Tiki's already ruled you sensitive.
I'm going to file an appeal. This is America still. Okay. And I will file an appeal.
Go file it with Boomer or something. I don't know.
Write it in lowercase and just say you won.
I'm going to text the group chat now exactly what my appeal is.
Fine. I don't care anymore.
He didn't get it.
I really don't get it.
Lowercase L looks like a one.
Oh, yeah. That's very smart. We'll come back with your calls. Plus, I do want to play that clip that Tiki shared in our text chat that I think you'll get a kick out of. It's how some people knew Daniel Jones would be Daniel Jones before Daniel Jones was Daniel Jones, and now we all know who Daniel Jones is. We'll get to that coming up. Speaking of the Jets, and we've talked a little bit about it through the first hour and a half of the show, you can rewind to the top where we laid out a clear way the Jets can still make the playoffs and also a very creative idea on if how they don't make the playoffs, a big offseason trade that includes Sauce Gardner and the number one pick. You could rewind to 3 o'clock for that. But I want to share something with you that Tiki shared with us last night. After the New York Knicks were, beating up the Philadelphia 76ers, he sent us this video clip that's gone around social media from Todd McShay. Todd McShay was asked right after the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, how surprised are you that the Giants took him? Listen to his answer, because it is uncanny how accurate Todd McShay was on everything about Daniel Jones.
I wouldn't say surprised as much as disappointed for Giants fans. I mean... If you watch the tape, this guy, listen, I've sat in a room with him. I've sat with David Cutcliffe, and he's explained how much he loves him, how smart he is, and he's a good guy. His teammates love him. He's competitive. He is a runner. He can run. But I see a backup quarterback in the NFL. And when you look at him, he's slow to process at times, inconsistent decision maker. He is, if we did all statistics on all these quarterbacks, second to last of all the quarterbacks, talking about 15 draftable quarterbacks this year, second to last in terms of under pressure, which is the most important thing to evaluate with quarterbacks from college to the NFL.
What do you think of that?
I mean, it's exactly what we're seeing right now, 6 years later. We've said this exact same thing about him. He's slow to process. He holds on to the ball. He's got to see it before he makes a decision to throw it. And the question is, if you knew this, why did it not get better? And you could make all the excuses in the world. Ultimately, it's on the player, you know, to know what his flaws are and fix them. But it probably had to do with all the coaching staffs and coordinators and, you know, not ever truly working on his game consistently.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It just, when things move around that much, it just, I don't know. I saw that and it was exactly how I evaluate him now.
That's crazy.
When I watch tape on him, that's exactly what I see.
It's crazy because
and it's also the other stuff.
Right.
Great kid.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, smart as hell.
The positive stuff.
Big, strong, athletic, cannon, right? All that stuff. But it's those little things that Todd was talking about at the end that are still true.
It's usually that you hear these old draft kind of previews and they're dead wrong. And you laugh about it. You're like, oh, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he sucks. He won't be any good. And then obviously we laugh about it. That one was as accurate as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And that spread all over the internet over the last 24 hours. So very interesting stuff. Now, one other thing before we get to your calls. Aaron Rodgers met the regular media today.
Mm-hmm.
Not the conversation he has with Pat McAfee on Tuesdays. And Aaron was asked about his future. Because remember, Aaron Rodgers said before this season, he thought he could play multiple more years.
Four more years?
Yeah, four more years. And I remember when he said that, I got very excited. I was like, okay, great. I got my guy for the next 4 years. Obviously, Aaron has not had a great year personally. His team has had a terrible year. Has this changed his view on playing next year and beyond?
You've talked about wanting to play beyond this year before. Has the way this season gone for you or as a team changed that thought at all?
Not really. Not for the negative, no. Not really.
Do you still want to play in 2025?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Are you surprised by that answer?
No, not at all. Because how can you leave after this season? Especially if it ends the way that, you know, it's trending. If it changes and they go on a crazy run and they maybe get close to or in the playoffs, that's even more reason to play in 2025. You know what I mean? So the only way I think it gets crazy that he wants to play in 2025 is if he gets banged up, not like misses the season, but like hurt, looks compromised, looks old. You know, guys are just, it's just not there.
You don't think he looks old at times this year?
Of course he does.
So then isn't that already happening?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it's terminal. Mm. It doesn't. He's still in games, right?
Yeah.
He has chances to win games. He's just not making those plays.
Yeah, so I was giving this thought on if the Jets, look, the Jets go on a playoff run, they make the playoffs, obviously we're all going to come very differently to Aaron Rodgers. We're all going to be
100%.
Like, great, what a turnaround, bring him back for another year.
And it's going to be because of him.
No doubt about it. So I think that's an easy one. Jets turn it around. Of course, we're all going to open arms, bring him back for another year. Let's try this again. Maybe you're bringing the head coach back too, as crazy as that sounds. But I started to think, is there anything that could happen where they fall short of the postseason and I would still want Aaron Rodgers back?
Hmm.
And the reality is it would take a lot of hope in the second half for me to actually, as a fan, say, you know what? We didn't make the playoffs. It was a colossal failure. I'm going to bring him back. Because I think it creates so many other, like, bad elements. Like, all right, well, who's your head coach? Are you going to hire a head coach and tell him you're coaching Aaron Rodgers because he's back for a year or two?
Right. He's under contract and we're not moving off of the deal.
Right. So you're telling him Aaron's your quarterback and we'll figure out 2 years from now, 2 years from now. Are you really going to attract the best by doing that? You want to give the head coach more of a clear slate to do what they want.
Right.
And I mean, not be forced.
When you think about it, that's the corner that they've painted themselves into right now. Because if you don't make the playoffs, and just say you just limp there, so you win three more games, but you're not really close. 6-11,
mm-hmm.
You finish this season,
or even 7-10, like they have the last 2 years.
Yeah, whatever, 7-10,
yeah.
And you move on from Jeff Ulbrich, but Aaron Rodgers is here, Devontae Adams is here. You got some talent, obviously. You got some skill, both sides of the ball. But who really wants the job?
Yeah,
especially you're not in position to draft whoever the new head coach is. Is his quarterback following Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Right. Which, so it becomes, it becomes not an appealable job.
Well, and also, I also would want, and this is what I've thought about, when I don't want to think about the offseason, but you naturally think about it, I want the guy who's going to be here for the next 10 years. I want the next great head coach. That's what I'd want.
Yes.
So one idea, and G has said this a lot, Giannotti, over the last few weeks, is John Gruden. Mm-hmm. And I've given it thought, and the more I think about it, I don't want John Gruden. And it's not even just about, I'll tell you why. It's not even just the controversy and the emails. That's a completely separate issue, which is worthy of discussion. But I'm going to tell you the football reason why I don't want John Gruden. I think he's vastly overrated. Like, I think he was a good coach. Well, don't get me wrong.
No, he was.
I don't think
he's a good motivator.
Very good motivator. And he's fine. And maybe for other franchises, I'd say, sure, you know, bring him back. He's fine. But for my franchise, I would want a reset. I would want to blow the whole thing up, and I would want that guy who I can grow with and be the next great head coach for the next decade, and I don't see that with John Gruden.
And wasn't Gruden, how long, Gruden was out of the game for 10 years?
And then he went back to coach the Raiders, and he was there for 4 years before he got fired
but
or removed.
There was never any, there wasn't like innovation. It didn't feel like, this is new and exciting.
Did you feel he was innovating with the Las Vegas Raiders when he got there?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So when he came, he was out for 10 years, and he came back 10 years later.
Correct. So his last year coaching in Tampa was 2008. He returned to the Raiders in 18 and then coached him 18, 19, 20, 21, and was removed early on in the 2021 season.
Right.
I agree. Was there innovation with the Raiders?
I don't think so.
I think it's all hype.
They also had the worst GM besides Dave Gettleman. Mayock was awful.
I understand. I get it. You have a great quarterback and have great talent. I'm just saying, like, he doesn't feel to me like, A, the guy who's going to lead me for the next 10 years. I think he's overrated for two reasons. I think he's overrated because he did win a Super Bowl, which I don't want to take away from. Mm-hmm. He did a lot in Oakland and then Tampa. Yeah. I mean, he basically built a Raider team.
No, he built two Super Bowl teams.
100%.
So you give him credit. Well,
I give him a lot of credit.
I lie to that. That's a lie. He built a Super Bowl team, but won it with another Super Bowl
team. Yeah, Tony Dungy's team.
It was Tony Dungy's team.
Absolutely. But he still did it. Yeah. And I give him a lot of credit for that. He won a Super Bowl.
That was a different era, man.
Well, it was 20-plus years ago.
Fullbacks. Both teams had fullbacks.
Right.
Think about that.
I get you.
Both teams had fullbacks. So
Tommy was still a virgin. Like, it was a long time ago.
90% of the snaps were under center.
So yeah.
Think about what we're talking about.
That's why, but I think, okay, so he's overrated because he won a Super Bowl, and I think he's overrated because he's got a personality that people really liked on TV. But outside of that, he's a good head coach. Mm-hmm. That doesn't excite me. So I understand why it's brought up. I think it was a good idea when G had it. I'm just saying, as a Jeff fan, that doesn't excite me. I don't think that's my answer.
Yeah.
I think my answer is the guy who's going to coach me for the next 10 years. And there's a lot of risk with that. Like, who is that guy? Easier said than done. Now, I do have a guy who I'm going to publicly endorse. I don't know if I'm going to do that today, but I do have a guy. Hmm. What?
I was just going to say, before you introduce your guy, I was just curious, have you seen the Brian Costello guy he's put out
there? I saw the Brian Costello guy. Matt Nagy.
Nagy.
Yeah.
That, please just get Joe up ASAP if the Jets hire Matt Nagy.
Brian Costello's doing his job as a reporter, all right? He's getting people interested. He's getting people to yell at him. And I got nothing bad to say about Brian. All I'll say about him is I hate that pick. I think that's a terrible, terrible pick, all right? But my idea, should I endorse someone or should I wait until we're out of it? What do you think, Positive Tommy?
I would wait until the Jets are done.
Okay.
And you conceded and then endorse your new candidate.
Okay. I have a candidate, though. It's not John Gruden. It's not Matt Nagy. It's not Bill Belichick. It's not any of those guys. It's somebody else, and I gave it a lot of thought.
All right. Also, while Aaron Rodgers is declaring he is coming back, there is something with the Jets that is not coming back.
Go ahead.
Care? Sauce Gardner has now said today to the media he is re-deleting social media from his
phone. I think that's the best idea he's ever had.
But how long is he going to be? 12 hours? He's going to the bathroom?
That's fine. I hope it's permanent.
Yeah, but I don't know why so many of these guys are so invested in it.
I think it's like because they see what people are saying and feel the need to respond.
But no, but you don't need to respond.
Of course not.
At all.
Like, Sean responds all the time. He wants to fight with people about the Giants and being fat.
That's
why?
That's Sean's job right now.
I guess.
It's to be interactive.
He's also bored on the train.
Definitely. Definitely bored on the train.
I think that...
Matt Nagy? You don't want Matt Nagy.
Of course I don't want Matt Nagy.
I'm flummoxed by this.
I was being respectful of Brian Costello. It's a horrible idea. Brian's a good guy. He's getting people to talk about it. I respect him as a reporter. It's one of the dumbest ideas he's ever had. I still love the guy. I still like him. But no, I don't want Matt Nagy. What are you, freaking crazy? Matt Nagy.
Hey, he's made the playoffs.
I understand. He did fine in Chicago. Ask the people in Chicago what they think of Matt Nagy, all right? Let them give us a full report.
Though right now, I think they rate him higher than Eberflus. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I've got my candidate.
Text me your candidate, by the way.
You want me to text you my
text
candidate?
Text it to me right now. Yes.
I think I should announce it if you want me to find out personally.
No. What's me personally and millions of people?
I know who it is.
Here's the problem with not announcing it. When somebody else has it a week from now, you're right. Not the first.
It's Brian Flores, isn't it?
It is Brian Flores.
Told you.
He got my endorsement. But I'll tell you why I like Brian Flores. And it's actually pretty understandable. Brian Flores, and it has nothing to do with what he's doing defensively. He's a great defensive mind. That doesn't mean anything to me. You got to be a head coach. You need to be a head coach. And so there are a couple of things I like about Brian Flores. Number one, I do like the idea, and Nagy fits this too, by the way. I like the idea of someone who's coached before.
Yes.
Someone who has
had either a success or failure.
Yes.
At that job, and now this is their second chance.
Correct. Now, that doesn't always work. Ask Giant fans about Pat Shurmur. That isn't always successful. But I like the idea of someone who's done it before. Here's the other thing about Brian Flores. Unlike Adam Gase, who I thought sucked in Miami, I thought Brian did a good job and didn't deserve to be fired. He was there for 3 years. They were 5-11 in year one. They won 10 games in year two. They won 9 games in year three. And one of the biggest criticisms that he faced was, he made Tua upset. Tua was really sad.
Yeah.
Because Brian Flores was tough on him.
Well, I mean, it was hard. It's hard to evaluate that one effectively because he's just that kind of coach.
Yeah.
Like, he was a negative reinforcing coach. And certain guys don't mind it. Tua did. And so he just didn't know how to adjust to Tua.
And that is something I hope he learned from.
And he did. Because when Tua called him out, he I don't know if he apologized, but he basically said he understands.
Well, and I think what he understands is you have to coach different individuals differently.
100%.
Some guys can be coached hard. Some guys can be coached soft. And when we come back, I'll lay out the perfect evidence that if there is any team in sports that needs the toughness of a guy like Brian Flores, it's the New York Jets. I'll expose that when we come back. Plus, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.